Welcome back to another exciting episode of Goth Girl Horror, the Hack Slash Podcast. This will be the last episode of the Goth Girl Horror Hack Slash Podcast. It's been a few months since we've had an episode, but I thought this episode posting at the end of the year would be perfect. I don't know if you've seen the news, but Tim Seeley has left Twitter temporarily. I don't have a lot of information about that. This episode will be accompanied by an interview with one of the creators from the Zombie Tramp vs. Hack Slash comic book. Now, this was a Kickstarter comic book. I don't know if it's entirely available in stores just yet, but you can go to www.stillcomics.com for more information. Now into the comic. The cover for this issue that I have has Cassie and Zombie Tramp. I think this is the main cover with the reflection of the killer in Cassie's bat, which is kind of interesting. The killer in this issue is called the Mauler, a new created character. In the credits in here, we have Hack Slash created by Tim Seeley and Zombie Tramp created by Dan Mendoza. Story by Dan Mendoza and Sean Gabaron, written by Sean Gabaron, and here art by Pablo Munez, with interior colors by the Zonk Brothers. We open with a group of internet celebrities at the mall, very 90s, I guess. And they run into a young girl who gets inhabited by the spirit of Zombie Tramp, or Zombie Tramp is in one body and she transfers to another. This isn't a character I know very much about. Now, when they switch over to Cassie's story, there is no indication about where Vlad is. This is the thing that really had me bugging about the story, is that there is no Vlad in here at all. Now, you could say, oh, I guess the story takes place prior to her meeting Vlad, which is completely possible. They just did a whole miniseries about that, too. But in this, it's a little off-putting because there's just no mention of it. It just feels like maybe possibly the writer just didn't have anything to do with Vlad or didn't actually read Hack Slash to put Vlad in the comic book. I don't know. Cassie is in the middle of taking down one slasher, and then she goes over to find the Tierra Girls, which again are a bunch of internet busty gaming girls who pose nude or partially nude while gaming or streaming. Squirrely Lady Kylie, Autumn, and Tabitha. And they're being hunted by the Mauler in this mall. And they run into the Zombie Tramp. Now, Zombie Tramp and Cassie go at it head-to-head. And this is where it becomes the real versus part. They're not teaming up, really. Because Cassie thinks that Zombie Tramp is the Mauler until she realizes she is wrong. And after nearly drowning Cassie and then her being kind of like resurrected by Kylie, who's the bodybuilder of the group. There's one of a different flavor, too, by the way. You have a short, busty kind of gamer girl. You have a girl with like black underwear who's Lady. The weightlifting black girl, the redhead, the blue-haired girl, they all have a different shtick in this little group. And Kylie saves Cassie's life, and then she returns the favor to the zombie girl at the beginning of the story in chopping her head off after they defeat the Mauler, who's got, like, cybernetic implants and is extremely horny, according to what he says. The way the Zombie Tramp comes back to life is that she was a prostitute who was left by her pimp with the pimp's zombie kid, and she was bitten but used the Necronomicon to retain her sanity. So she is a zombie, but she's not like chowing down on human flesh to survive, mindless zombie. And at the end of the story, she inhabits the body of Tabitha in a very kind of like She-Hulk, Incredible Hulk style, because Tabitha, already a busty redhead, when the Zombie Tramp inhabits her body, it ends up stretching out her clothes. It is definitely for mature readers, but there's no nudity in it, of course. It just happens to be one of those tongue-in-cheek style comic books. Now, I've read a couple of the Zombie Tramp comics. They weren't entirely for me. And of course, we've covered every single issue of Hackslash on this podcast. This was a unique crossover. It was one of the more expensive Kickstarters, too, for a comic book, that's for sure. I believe the Kickstarter had an ending of like $25 for this prestige format comic book. I don't know what the retailer edition would be for, and it might not be a prestige format. Like a lot of the Lady Death comic books through Brian Polito's Coffin Comics are a high price on Kickstarter, but when you actually order it through retailers, less than half of what you would pay for a Kickstarter. Because in Kickstarter, you're getting a high-end glossy book with a bunch of extra incentives, but in this, you know, that, you know, from the retailer, you're just getting the comic book itself, which is totally fine. There's no ads in the comic book other than for Don't Miss Out on the Most Illest Comics in Indie from stillcomics.com, so you can check that out. Switch over now to over the interview I have with one of the creators from this comic book, and hopefully you enjoy my review of Zombie Tramp versus Hackslash. I recommend it if you're a completist of Hackslash or if you're a completist of Zombie Tramp, but it is completely passable. It's okay. It's serviceable at best with a lot of fan service, but feels as though the people who wrote it are definitely not Hackslash fans. Just because of the inclusion of Vlad is just non-existent. Of course, it could also take place at a time when Vlad is dead, which is completely possible. I don't know. But we'll have to wait and see for the official Hackslash timeline to be updated. Hopefully you had a Merry Christmas and you have a Happy New Year. Enjoy my interview.
Of Hackslash Zombie Tramp. Hackslash versus Zombie Tramp? The person involved with the comic book, Sean Gabarin, is on the show with us. Thank you for coming on, Sean.
Happy to be here.
Talk about how... Well, first of all, give some context about Zombie Tramp. It's not a character I'm overly familiar with. I'm a hardcore, obviously, fan of Cassie Hack and Vlad. But with Zombie Tramp, it's kind of hit or miss. And I think I only have like a couple issues of her, or at least maybe a collected trade paperback about who she is. So she's kind of an unknown commodity in the comic book industry, I think.
Well, Zombie Tramp was Janie Bell. She was a high-priced call girl. She went out on a call, and the John tried to feed her to his zombie son, and she ended up turning zombie herself, got a hold of the Necronomicon, and has been sort of an undead witch going around fighting all kinds of crazy people and monsters for years now.
You definitely say that it falls into the comedy horror genre, whereas Hackslash is definitely a horror, you know, with comedy sprinkled in, because I believe there's comedy and horror, but comedy kind of sprinkles itself into anywhere. But it's definitely more of a comedy horror than a straight up horror comic book.
Depends on the story arc. I mean, some of the stories that Dan does are very, like, I think his aim is more Grindhouse, which lends itself towards that... that comedy horror aspect of it, but there's definitely a lot of comedy in a lot of the stories.
What came first? Was it Zombie Tramp, or was it that movie about the two high school kids who have a classmate of theirs tied up in the basement and she's been turned into a zombie? Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
I do know the movie you're talking about, Dead Girl.
Yes,
I Dead don't Girl. Recall what year that came out. Yeah, I don't know the dates between those two. That's interesting, though. Yeah, Dead Girl was messed
Dead
up.
Dead Girl is creepy as hell.
Uh huh.
It's definitely something of a certain kind of taste in the horror community. You have to be careful if you watch it. Just letting people know.
Sure. Yeah, that's a movie that I bought a DVD of just for the sake of being able to tell. You know what I mean? Give it to a friend and be like, this is just screwed up. You have to see it once. I've never watched it since I bought it. I'd seen it prior to that. It's just sat there on my shelf.
I think the new movie that has replaced it in my zeitgeist came out this month, called Bring Her Back.
Okay, yeah, I didn't get to see it yet. I saw a trailer for it, though, and I'm interested.
It's messed up.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's no sexual assault in it, let's just say, thankfully.
That's very good to hear.
Well, sort of. It's not like the way you think. Like, nobody is raped, let's just say, but there is definitely some uncomfortable stuff in that film. But thankfully, they didn't go in ways I was like, oh my god, she's gonna fuck him. Oh my god, this is gonna... Oh my god, I'm gonna have to close... Ah! Thankfully, it didn't happen. So
that's good to hear.
But back to tramps that are zombies. How did the plot line or the origin story of getting doing a hack slash zombie tramp crossover come along? And this thing's like 40 pages when it comes out, right?
50 pages, I think, is what we came out to.
Yeah, wow. Good on you, man.
Thanks. I mean, as far as the like agreeing to do it and such, that would come down to Tim and Dan. I wasn't involved in that part, but when it comes to like the creation of the storyline, I've always been like, I have a real soft spot for like horror movies set in malls. Like Chopping Mall is one of my favorite movies. I can watch that anytime. And I realized I hadn't written any stories like that, so I wanted to do something like that. So me and Dan came up with a nice little story. Takes place after hours in a mall with a group of girls who, you know, broke in to do some shenanigans, and Zombie Tramp and Cassie Hack both show up, and you know, it's fun.
Is Cassie's first reaction to seeing this undead bimbo just a lot of like really crass comments and kind of basically zombie slut shaming her? Because that's Cassie's go-to.
There definitely is, yeah, there's a good bit of that in there, for sure.
We as we were recording this for anyone listening, I don't have the issue in hand yet, and I doubt our guest is allowed to go over too many spoiler details about it. But what
Yeah,
we can talk
unfortunately.
about is what was that?
I said unfortunately, yeah.
How do you just like go to Tim with a pitch and be like, "Hey, we have Zombie Tramp and we want to do this." And I know I've talked to Tim about this on this show that he because I'm like, "Hey, how come Cassie's never gone up against like Pumpkinhead or something?" He's like, "I don't want to be the crossover guy every 5 minutes." But then he's like, every series of hack slash lately, off and on has been a crossover with some other character.
Or yeah, I think that if I remember it right, I wasn't there when they had the talk. So I believe it was Dan and Tim at a convention just bullshitting, and one of them, you know, commented that they'd be into doing it, and then it just snowballed from there. I believe that's how it went.
Gotcha. Now you're the writer of this one shot, right? Do you have rules and regulations that you have to follow with these IPs?
Well, I have a good knowledge of Zombie Tramp and how she, you know, how to handle her. I've written little things with her before for Dan, and I mean, I've read a ton of hack slash, so I felt like I had a decent idea on how to play her out. So I mean, I wrote it up, sent it to Dan. Dan sent it to Tim. They both signed off on it. I know that Dan made a few little tweaks here and there with some of the Zombie Tramp dialogue, which is, you know, I have zero problem with that because it's his character. He knows better what she'd say than I do. I'm not certain what, you know, what kind of changes Tim may have made to the final story, but I think, I mean, I have the final issue in front of me, and it seems pretty close to what I originally turned in. There's a few dialogue bits here and there, like I said, but story-wise, it's all there.
Why did you guys decide to go to Kickstarter with this?
Dan does a lot of, he does really well with Kickstarter, and I think that just seems to be his home form of distribution right now.
And honestly, it's the form of most in the big time creators with IPs distribution. I mean, look at Terra Witch of the
Right.
Black Rose. They jumped
Yeah.
over to Kickstarter last year with their last issue. And when I had a conversation with Jim Ballant about it, he said that that's the way it's going to be going from now on until the industry straightens themselves out and they have someone they can be distributed through Diamond. I mean, they were publishing
Yeah.
6 issues a year for 20 years, and they're down to doing one issue a year now, unfortunately. And I don't know how that's affecting them really, but
That's pretty crazy to drop that. I mean, if not, you know, any fault of their own, but to go from
no,
six
but
to one, that, yeah, that
I, you
definitely
know,
has
you
to
kind of
hurt.
wonder like, how does that sustain you going from so many issues per year, even 6 issues, to one? But
Sure.
he does a lot of commissions too, and a lot of covers, and Jim's got a pretty dedicated fan base. Like Brian Polito does, who's not an artist. He's a writer like us. Tim, who's both a writer and artist, and Tim Vigil just recently put out a giant reprint book of his Gothic Knights vampire book. And he told me that over 40% of the backers on that was all buying original artwork from him, which he sells at anywhere from like $800 to $1,000 to $1,200 a page.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never run a Kickstarter myself. I have one that I'm planning on doing soon, but it's a whole different world to try to figure out how to set one of those up. So, you know, nothing but respect to these people who can pull it off on a regular basis.
I've got one coming up myself. It's a sequel to my Vlada a Dracula tale, where we gender swap the cast of Dracula. Tim did a cover for the retail editions of the book. And he's going to be doing a cover for the upcoming Colleen the Vampire, which is the sequel to Vlada a Dracula tale, set in that gender swap Dracula universe. And we're going to do it on Kickstarter. We got Tim Vigil on interiors and a cover. We got Matt Slay, you know, and the Kickstarter is going to help to pay for their artwork to get the book completed and then printed and published. But it can be like frightening, you know, and you need to know what you're doing, or you need to make damn sure everyone who's helping you put this thing together and out with, of course, playing the cover game. You have to play the cover game. I hate all alternate covers. I really wish the industry could go back to just the one cover per comic book, but
I am with
it
you
100%.
Yep. Yeah, I am right there with you.
I mean, I'm looking through just before I go back to my Kickstarter. I'm looking through the Marvel Universe. You know, the previews thing that they put out. I don't even know who's putting this out anymore, with Diamond not doing it. And I'm looking at like whatever issue number one is in here. You know, the Deadpool Wolverine is Deadpool's Batman is coming soon. That's gonna probably have like 25 covers.
Or yeah.
Right here. Okay, so we have Black Cat number one. She has 10 covers. Predator Kills Them All the Universe, a dozen covers. Of course, by the way, for Black Cat number one, I just want the Adam Hughes cover. It's beautiful and perfect.
I'm sure that it is, yeah.
But how many covers did you have for the zombie hack slash?
I believe there were six. And then with Dan's stuff, with the Zombie Tramp stuff, there's usually the topless version with it.
Oh,
so
of course.
There's the regular and the risque variants. Yeah, so you know, upwards of 10. But you know, as much as I dislike variant covers, because I like to just be able to get, I don't know, I like a I prefer a cover that is of the art inside. You know what I mean? Same artist on the cover as inside. That's just what works for me. But there's plenty of people out there that collect.
I'm also done with like giving away free crap. You're coming to the Kickstarter to support it. Don't ask me, oh, what are we going to get for free? Nothing. How about I give you a thumbs up and a you know, a thank you, and that's it, because you're here to fund the comic book, not see what you can get for free from Kickstarter.
Man.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The questions I've gotten, but yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. With a Kickstarter, you need to make sure everyone in your team punches it the day it launches, and the pre-launch too.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah, I've got a stack of covers, and I'm just trying to figure out the pricing and same thing. I don't want to get into all the freebies. I just want a basic thing that's just the book with a few different cool artists on covers and, you know, see where it goes.
With me, I've had a couple of people just be like, oh, I want to work with Tim Vigil. I'm like, well, you're not technically working with him. You're going to do a cover to a book he's on. That's good enough. I'm like, okay, sure.
Sure.
You guys did 40 pages for this thing. That's pretty beefy. Is it all the one story, or is it like some backup stories in it, like with just the main story only being 22 pages?
All the one story. Yeah, we considered doing it as like just a two-part series, but it, by the time we were getting ready to start the Kickstarter, it was just decided that, you know, let's just do it as one big beefy issue and let people get the whole story at once.
What who are some of the talking about the variant covers, who are some of the variant cover artists?
See here, there is, I mean, there's obviously there's the Dan Mendoza cover, Bill McKay, who does a lot of covers for this the Zombie Tramp world. Tim Seeley did a cover that's pretty sweet. Drex Gall did a very, very crazy cover for this. I mean, there's covers by, I'm trying to see who else is on here. Mike McComb, the Zong brothers, who do a lot of work for Dan. They did the colors for the interior of this story as well, and their cover's pretty nuts too. I mean, there's a good number of covers, and they're all pretty fantastic.
You've been working in the horror comic genre for a while, right?
Definitely. Yeah, that's where I feel at home. Yeah.
Is it the and you've been doing the Puppet Master stuff?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That's been over for a couple years now, but I mean, I grew up on the movies, so to get to write stories in that world was just, that was insane. That was one of my highlights so far.
Through it was at was it Charles Band, right?
Yeah, he produced all the movies, wrote the movies and all that fun stuff for, I mean, the first one was 89, I believe, and they just put a couple movies out in the franchise in the past couple of years. So it's been going pretty strong for quite a while now. But yeah, it was cool. Like every script that I turned in that, the Full Moon, the company who produces the movies, approved every script. They signed off on everything I wanted to do, and I did some crazy stuff that hadn't been done before, and named some characters and created some characters and all that fun stuff. So yeah,
What was the puppet that you were able to create?
well, we did a couple different ones. Like there was this fortune teller kind of lady who ends up, she was using the puppets to do certain things. Like it was sort of like she'd temporarily transfer you into a puppet so you could go out and do something with no consequences and just come back into your body afterwards. And at the end of that
Nice.
story arc, she gets stuck into this like sort of Day of the Dead looking puppet that was running around for a while that was brand new to the series that I got to help make.
How many Puppet Master films are they up to now? I have not kept up caught I have not kept up with those since like the fourth or fifth one back in the day.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember exactly how many there are. I want to say there are, it's been a little bit since I've checked the tally. I want to say there are 10 or 11 in the main series, two movies that are like adventures for an individual puppet each. There was a crossover with Demonic Toys back in the day, and there was a
Oh yeah.
remake that came out a handful of years ago. So yeah, there's been a good number of movies. That's what, like 14 there? 14, 15, something like that.
I wonder if Puppet Master will ever get that Hollywood treatment like they're doing with the Toxic Avenger coming up.
They did one a handful of years ago. I don't remember the company that put it out, but it was starring Thomas Lennon from, I mean, I know him best from The State back in the day, but he's been in all kinds of comedies for years, so to see him doing a role in a horror movie was kind of fun.
What's the ETA for the book to come out to the Kickstarter backers if people are listening to this before they get their copy?
Like it should be out in September. I don't have any more precise date than that, but that's what it's looking like so far.
Do you have any great advice for people who are trying to write comic book scripts? I always say to look in the back of a trade paperback. You'll find a lot of printed scripts from the comic book that you read, and I usually will have one or two handy to cite them for like a source of being like, oh, this is a good idea, or the director's cuts of issues. They'll print the writer's script.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. The advice I always end up giving to people is like when they come up to me and ask me, how do I get started? I always tell them just do it. Just, start writing it. The first draft, it's supposed to suck. You know what I mean? You're gonna But if you get it down on paper, if you get it down into your Word or whatever program you're going to use, then at least you put something down and you have something you can look at and say, okay, I can do this. And then you just edit it and polish and edit and polish and edit and polish until it's to the level that you would like it to be. But if you don't get yourself to start in the first place, you're never going to get there.
Awesome, Sean. I appreciate you coming on the show, Goth Girl Horror, to talk a little bit about this crossover, and explore a little bit of the Zombie Tramp world. Is there anything that you're working on outside of someone else's IP that's your own that you want to talk about or plug?
Couple books that are fairly new that are I've just been taking around to shows and have on my website. I don't have an official website like a fancy, like a simple name. I have an online store. If you Google my name or Handwritten Entertainment, you'll find it. One of my main new ones is this. It's a one shot called Thank You, and it's sort of a meta book where the entire issue is the lady talking straight to you, trying to make you shut the book so she doesn't get killed again. It's just a little chunk of a slasher movie, but just directed straight at the reader.
Excellent. Cool. What company are you publishing that from?
That's just my self-published work under Handwritten Entertainment. I don't know that. A lot of the stuff I do like that, I don't know that it's quite direct market books that I've been doing a lot of lately. So I find it easier to just go ahead and self-publish instead of trying to deal with all that mess.
I understand. Sometimes I think it'd be better to go through a publisher, and sometimes I think it'd just be more agonizing.
Right, yeah. It all depends on the project and what kind of mass market appeal I think it has. Like a lot of my work, if I go to a comic show, it'll sell fine and I can, be happy with the results, and then I go to a horror show and it's just like gobbled up, you know what I mean? So it's I don't know, it seems like my stuff is more horror direct than comic book direct.
Gotcha. I can understand that. Well, Sean, hey, where can people find you on social medias?
I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky. I have a Twitter. I barely ever go there anymore though. And it's all under my name, Sean Gabarine. So, and as far as I'm aware, I'm the only Sean Gabarine, so it's pretty easy to find me.
Gotcha. Cool. Sean, thank you so much for coming on Goth Girl Horror, the Hack Slash podcast, to talk about Zombie Tramp versus Hack Slash, or the Hack Slash versus Zombie Tramp. Which is it?
I believe it's Zombie Tramp or Hack Slash from the logos I've seen.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Kathy, who are you gonna stop tonight? Let the villains know that she's looking for a fight.